Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So the Chiefs in their next three games play the other three teams in the division. What we'll do over the next couple of weeks is take a trip around the AFC West to just update you on the standings. As you know, right now, Kansas City is in first place in their division with a record of 7-4. The other three teams in the AFC West all sit at 6-5. The Los Angeles Chargers, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Denver Broncos. Let's take our first trip around the AFC West, and let's head to Las Vegas to be joined by Scott Goldbrandson.
Pass play down the middle to go, and it's there. That's DeSean Jackson tiptoeing for the touchdown.
Scott, how's it going, my man?
Good, buddy. How you doing? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Glad to be back on the air talking football with you.
Absolutely, man. I just want to know if they've picked up all the flags off the field from Thanksgiving. It was a lot of them out there. I just want to know if they've gotten them all up off the turf.
Boy, it was painful. It was also painful watching my Twitter feed that night because I kept complaining about it. I felt like the old man on the lawn screaming, "Get off my lawn." Yeah, it was terrible. The NFL, though, the ratings continue to go up. Carrington, I don't think they care.
Which doesn't make any sense why they wouldn't want to improve their product, but that's a longer conversation for another day. What version of the Las Vegas Raiders do you think are real? Because coming into the game against the Cowboys, they had lost three straight. They lost to the Giants, they got blown out by the Chiefs, and they got blown out by the Cincinnati Bengals. And then on Thanksgiving, in front of 38 million people, they beat one of the five best teams in the NFL in the Dallas Cowboys. What version of the Raiders do you think is real?
That's the big question, right, is how can this team find some consistency down the stretch? Over the past 3 years, you know their record on the second half of the season has been deplorable. They've had four years straight now of quick, good starts, including this year's 5-2 starts, only to falter down the stretch. And who knows with this team? I mean, they come out on Thanksgiving, which really was a must-win game with them, and they finally get the offense going. Derek Carr, 3,414 yards, leads the NFL in passing yards. And he looked good against the Cowboys, but yet the Raiders, despite the win, and they had to push into overtime to do it, the Raiders still, you know, wins don't cover up deficiencies, and the Raiders are still having trouble against the run. They're still having trouble on third down. They're one of the worst, next to last in the NFL in third down efficiency. They're also terrible in the red zone. So if you're not going to be good in the red zone, you're not going to be able to score. How are you going to beat the leader in the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs? If you're not scoring six and you're only scoring three, you're going to lose that battle every time.
That's a great question. The biggest thing that I've noticed with the Raiders, and you watch them far more closely than I am, I can't imagine an organization paying me $100 million, and it doesn't matter if I'm there or not. The Raiders don't look any different, for better or worse, with the loss of John Gruden. Is that a fair and accurate statement to make as they have an interim coach?
I think there is some validity to the statement, Carrington. I also think, though, that it is noticeable, for example, with some of the issues they had on offense. They've been terrible in the red zone and on third down for the last 3 years, so that's consistent under Gruden, whether he's there or not. But the play calling itself and getting things on track during some of the games, Gruden was very specific about scripting plays at the beginning of games. They've kind of ventured away from that and has not done them any better. But it is a valid point, and I do think that the franchise overall, remember, not only did they lose Gruden as a coach, they lost their president of the team. Of course, they lost Henry Ruggs to the tragic decision that he made. which impacted so many lives. And so this team, there's so many different directions you can go. And I do think they're somewhat leaderless. And you see it on the field and some of the problems that existed under Gruden there. Some are new and some won't be rectified until they get to the offseason to get some stability.
You mentioned leaderless. That's pretty damning of a comment, I would say, towards their quarterback. Like Derek Carr, he gives off a lot of I am the leader energy when it comes to that team. Do you think that he's this team's leader?
I do think, listen, off the field, what he has done during the Gruden and the Henry Ruggs situation and everything they've gone through this year has been remarkable, and I give him credit for that. At the end of the day, it's not about how many yards you throw. It's not how many touchdowns you throw. It's about how many games you win. And Derek Carr, that's been the big knock on him overall, and I think he's done a good job. But at the same time, is he any different than we thought he was coming into this year? He started out incredibly hot. Then he got inconsistent. It's very, very telling because that's what's happened every year. Is he a top 15 quarterback? I think so. Is he a top 10 quarterback? I don't think he's proven that out. You can't convince me of that because of 3,400 yards. Leaders like that, MVP-type candidates, franchise quarterbacks, in my view, have to get their team over the hump, have to get them over huge obstacles and win football games and get to the playoffs. He has a chance to do it. Clearly, down this stretch and these tough games that they have, Derek Carr is going to show what he's made up. He's also playing for a contract, Carrington, so that's got to play into it as well.
Last question here with Scott Goldbrandt, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders, doing an AFC whip around as the Chiefs sit at 7-4. The other three teams in the AFC West sit at 6-5. The six remaining game for the Raiders, home against Washington, at Kansas City, at Cleveland, home against Denver, at Indianapolis, home against the Los Angeles Chargers. If I set the over-under on wins this season for the Las Vegas Raiders at 9.5, you taking the over or the under?
I'm going to stick with what I said in August on our show, which was 9 wins. I still think they get it. I picked them to go 9-8. We look at the schedule on the back end here. It's hard to find a 10th win unless something drastic happens with one of the other teams, and anything can happen down the stretch. But you look at the game against Washington at home. Look what Washington last night did with Seattle, right? And then, of course, you have the interdivisional games with Kansas City, Los Angeles, and Denver. All those teams are playing pretty well. Yes, they're a little bit inconsistent, but at the same time, they're all pretty equal, and so it could go either way. But I still pick the Raiders to win 9 games. And who knows, though, with the way the AFC is matching up and with some of the tiebreakers they have, they could end up making the playoffs. But I really still think if you want to be comfortable, you're going to have to win 10.
That's Scott Goldbrandson, who covers the Las Vegas Raiders. We take a trip around the AFC West. Scott, always good talking football with you, my friend. Take care.
Thank you. Take care, my man.
Absolutely. That's Scott Goldbrandson. Oh, my goodness. That's my fault there. If the Raiders are only winning 9 games and you're taking the under over on 9.5 with how competitive the AFC is, I just don't see how you're a playoff team. I mean, right now in the AFC, there are 12 teams that have 5 or more wins. I mean, 12th place right now in the AFC is the Cleveland Browns, and they're 6-6. So if you're not going to get to 10, it's not realistic to think that you can make the playoffs.
You said it earlier in the year, and I echo it. You called it a race to 11 back before the Chiefs played the Packers. You got to get to 11 to be solidly in and maybe win the division. If you're topping out at 9, you got to figure the Chargers, Chiefs, and way more teams are going to run past you. 9 wins does not make this Raiders team a Super Bowl threat and definitely not a playoff threat.
I would say you probably have to win 11 to feel comfortable of making the playoffs. I would say 10 still puts you in a lot of tiebreaker scenarios because of how jumbled up the AFC is. Like, it's so jumbled up, 10 is going to make making the playoffs comfortably. I mean, so right now, so the 4 divisional winners, Baltimore, New England, Tennessee, Kansas City, as of now, Cincinnati is the 5 seed, Buffalo's the 6 seed, Los Angeles is the 7 seed, but barely hanging on to it. I mean, these are the teams that have 6 wins right now in the AFC. Los Angeles, Vegas, Denver, Indianapolis, Cleveland. One of those teams is going to go, and probably 2 of those teams is going to go 4-2 down the stretch, and that's going to be the difference between making or missing the playoffs. You probably got to win 11 to feel really comfortable in the AFC if you're going to make the playoffs. 10 probably gets you in. 9, I don't think you have a chance of making the playoffs if you only win 9 games in the AFC. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and continue our trip around the AFC West. We'll head to Denver and catch up with Josh Dover.
Picked off! Sertan the sideline. Can he get there? Surtain to the end zone for the touchdown.
Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest, Josh Dover of Altitude 950. Josh, how you doing, my man?
I'm feeling good, Kenton. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. The Broncos with a really impressive 28-13 win over the Los Angeles Chargers. They get Patrick Surtain back, and he dominated that game defensively. The Broncos are one of the more confusing teams in the AFC. They're 6-5, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how this team is over 500.
You're not alone, man. I was spending the week on my show trying to figure out who this Bronco team is. Yeah, Patrick Surtain proving to be the man with that number 9 overall pick. Fangio said he spoke for Peyton, said they wouldn't change that pick, knowing what they know now even about Mac Jones. Said that to the media on Monday. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They finally run the football, and when they do run the football at a 30 or more pace per game, they can win football games. But for some reason, Pat Shurmur wants to prove to everybody he's the smartest guy in the room and continues running those three wide receiver sets, getting Teddy in trouble, and that's when the Broncos start to stumble. So I guess the way you make Pat Shurmur run the football is make Drew Lock be your quarterback, because that's how they ran the football and that's how they won the game against L.A.
We talked about this earlier today to lead off the show. The three teams that I think have taken a step forward in quarterback are also the three surprising teams in the AFC. Cincinnati's getting better quarterback play on account of Burrow being healthy. They're in the playoff picture. New England's getting improved quarterback play. They're in the playoff picture. So is Denver. Denver has cut down on the turnovers from the quarterback position, going from Locke to Teddy Bridgewater, and they find themselves firmly in the mix for a wild card spot.
Yeah, and it's like I said, just who is this team? I said it today on my show, Kennington, that if you told Broncos country out here in Denver to start the season and you said, hey, I'm not going to tell you how it happened, but in December, you're going to play a primetime football game against the Chiefs and the winners in outright first place of the AFC West, everyone in this city would be doing jumping jacks and cartwheels in celebration of that scenario. But if you go talk to a Broncos fan here in Denver, it's doom and gloom. You don't trust Teddy. You certainly don't trust Pat Shurmur. That's the one thing that we can all agree on. And it's, I mean, you lose to the Eagles 2 weeks ago. We're talking about Fangio and Shurmur losing their jobs during the bye. That doesn't happen. They re-up with a couple of playmakers for next year, and then you go get a win against the Los Angeles Chargers team, putting yourself in the position that you're in. So I think this game this week has a chance to define whether or not Vic Fangio is coming back as the Broncos head coach in 2022.
So even if the Broncos maybe finish with the winning record and go 9-8, you see a possibility in which they replace their head coach?
Absolutely. 100%. I think it's playoffs or bust for Coach Vic Fangio. And I think he has to at least get this team into the playoffs to even continue to have that conversation. Just has a year left on his deal, so it would be a clean pull. You know, you don't got to pay him a bunch. Plus, what we talk about a lot out here is ownership situation. Peyton's safe. George Peyton's got himself 5 years to go with his current contract. So I think George Peyton coming in, and you know how it goes, Carrington. Peyton told us in the media he took the job because of Vic Fangio. Well, we don't believe you, bro, and we won't ever believe you when you say things like that. So I think it's playoffs or bust, or Fangio is out. And I'll say this, maybe this is just a want instead of a take on my part, but I don't see a way at all that Pat Shurmur returns as the OC no matter what happens.
Right now we're talking to Josh Dover of Altitude 950. It's surprising to hear you say this, because I would think that Broncos fans are confident and hopeful and feel like they're taking a step forward. Like, the Broncos have shown a lot of fight. The defense looks to be improved. And especially when you look at the quarterback situation as the NFL kind of sits, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo might be changing team. Russell Wilson might be changing teams. Aaron Rodgers might be changing teams. Deshaun Watson might be changing teams. Like, the Broncos, to me, are firmly in the mix to go out there and grab one of those quarterbacks that would obviously drastically change the course of where everything is heading. I'm surprised that fans seem so willing to kind of move forward with a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's just almost like same story, same movie, same ending type of situation where Broncos country is in right now, because you went out and got a defensive coach for the second consecutive time of hiring a head coach where the league is trending on the offensive side of things. Pat Shurmur Kenton went 24 games without an opening drive touchdown. How in the hell does someone keep their job when they failed 24 times at something that you put such an emphasis on? So, like I said, I think a playoff berth takes Fangio. I don't think there's a single thing out there that can save Pat Shurmur. And some rumblings that we've heard from inside of Dove Valley, where the Broncos practice out here,
is that George Payton already has a short list of coaches that he would like to talk to, and every single coach on that short list, at least what I've been told, has a relationship or has had a relationship with Russell Wilson. So that's kind of where their target is if this doesn't go well into the playoffs. And like I said, I still believe even if you sneak in as a wild card and get beat up in weekend one, I still think they're looking for Russell Wilson and a coach to replace Fangio that has a relationship with Russ.
Josh, I was going to ask you what's your confidence for Sunday night, but I think you've answered the question over the last 5 minutes. Thanks for coming on today.
Always, Dan. I appreciate you, Kevin. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That's Josh Dover of Altitude 950. I didn't need to ask him what he thought about Sunday's game. He was kind of telling us, like, he ain't very hopeful about their chances of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, if you're at the point in your relationship where you're going to leave after the next fight, then your relationship is over and you just don't know it yet. If you told yourself in the AFC West, we need to be better than Kansas City or we're firing our head coach, then you've already made the decision to fire your head coach if you're the Broncos. Like, they're firing Vic Fangio at the end of the season. I would say if that team won 9 games and they went 9-8, that's a little bit of room for optimism. It does solidify that they have a good roster and you just have to continue to improve the quarterback position. But if they have a very simple playoff or bust scenario for that Broncos team, it's going to be bust. They're going to be very disappointed and they're going to be looking for a new head coach this offseason.
I am like floored that it was playoffs or bust. Were they seeing something different with this team coming into the season than me and you? I was pleasantly surprised the Broncos, unpleasantly surprised the Broncos. They haven't been world beaters, but I thought they're going to be a laughing stock. And they're a win in Kansas City away from first in the AFC West. I guess new GM come in, clean house. I guess you got to do it post COVID. That's kind of how things are going. See college football, but I'm stunned it's playoff or bust in Denver.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and take our final trip in the AFC West. We head to Los Angeles, California to catch up and learn more about the Chargers.
Herbert fires open, making the grab. Mike Williams down the sideline. High steps his way in for the touchdown.
We are happy to be joined by Daniel Popper. He is the Chargers beat writer for The Athletic. Daniel, happy to have you on again, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Daniel, I changed my pick to the Chargers, or from Kansas City to the Chargers to win the division, and I have looked like an absolute fool the last couple of weeks. What's happened with the Chargers, my man?
Yeah, so I think that early start to the season, the 4-1 start, sort of set these sky-high expectations, and people were labeling them as one of the best teams in football. But since then, you've seen regression. You've seen, you know, some of these roster holes exposed. You know, in this game on Sunday against the Broncos, they were down 3 starters on the offensive line. Justin Herbert was pressured on 19 of his dropbacks, and that had a significant impact on the offense. You're seeing some inconsistencies offensively. They lead the league in drops, penalties, protection breakdowns, and that's impacting their ability to score the football. Defensively, they really haven't been good this season. Just diving into the numbers today, they're ranked 29th in DVOA, Football Outsiders efficiency metric. Defensively, they're 23rd in EPA per play. Early in the season, it was a porous run defense. That's improved since the bye week, but their pass defense has been atrocious. Since the bye week, they're not getting good enough cornerback play. They've been down some corners with Michael Davis out with a hamstring injury for a couple of weeks. Asante Samuel Jr. suffered his second concussion in 4 weeks a couple of weeks ago, and he's out for the foreseeable future. And they just haven't gotten enough from their cornerback depth, and that's really an area of weakness on this team. Their special teams are still the worst in the league. So you sort of break it down that way, and it's like, okay, the 4-1 start was an illusion, to use the Brandon Staley term. And they're closer to what they've looked like over these last 6 games when they've gone 2-4 and sort of come back to earth.
How would you evaluate year 2 for Herbert? I was really high on him coming into the season. The numbers don't appear to really blow you away, but you watch him far more closely than I do.
Yeah, I still think he's playing at a really high level. Like I said, there's been a lot of protection issues this year. They lost right tackle Brian Bulaga in week 1, and Storm Norton has been a liability at right tackle. They lost Ode Ibushi at right guard, and they're starting Michael Schofield, who they signed off the street. So I think that's been an issue. I still see the same Justin Herbert. I think he's still a superstar quarterback, and you've seen that pop up in some of these games that he's won pretty much single-handedly, whether it's the Browns game or the Steelers game. You know, I think you look at the box score numbers, and he has 10 interceptions in the year. But you go watch the film, and some of these interceptions aren't his fault, where, you know, you're getting tip passes that are picked off. So, you know, you see some mistakes, right? I mean, in that game on Sunday, he tries to fit a ball into the back of the end zone. They're down 14-7. They're inside the red zone. You can't throw an interception in that situation. He underthrows the ball, picked off by Pat Surtain. But, you know, this is a guy that still hasn't made 30 starts in the league, and he's 23 years old. Like, they're going to have some mistakes. And I think in his rookie season, everyone sort of expected him to, you know, play perfect football week to week. But that's just not a realistic expectation for a quarterback who's young. He's growing in this offense. He's still making those eye-opening plays every single week. I think the protection is an issue right now. They don't really have a consistent running game. That's putting a lot of pressure on him to make plays, and you're going to have some mistakes in this situation.
Right now, we're talking to Daniel Popper here as we conclude our tour around the AFC West. The Chiefs are 7-4. The other three teams in the AFC West are 6-5. Final two questions here, Daniel. I appreciate your time. One's a very simple question, and I think most Chargers fans are asking themselves this question. How did you hire the Rams defensive coordinator yet look so porous defensively as the Chargers have for most of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think primarily, you know, you talk about trying to fit square pegs into round holes, right? A defensive coordinator comes in and completely changes up the scheme, and you're trying to put players into position that were drafted and brought onto this team to play an entirely different scheme than Gus Bradley, who plays a lot of single high. This is a, you know, split safety system. So I think he's trying to make do with what he has, and it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get the players that he wants in here. You know, some of it has been depth concerns. You know, the rush defense was an issue early in the season, as I said. They lost Justin Jones, one of their better interior defensive linemen. They were playing a lot of undrafted players on the defensive line, and that was an issue. The pass defense was really good early in the season. You know, they were a top 10 pass defense in the league before the bye week, but some of these injuries at cornerback have really impacted them. They're playing Tavon Campbell on the outside right now, a former CFL player who's really in his second season getting NFL action. And he's making a lot of mistakes out there, whether it's missed tackles, whether it's losing leverage when he has help. You can see it on the tape. And they just haven't gotten good enough cornerback play this year. And I think that's been an issue in terms of their pass defense regression here over these recent weeks. But it just hasn't been good enough. And I think there's a lot of hope, both internally and externally, they were going to have a great defense, that Brandon Staley was going to come in here and work the same magic that he did with the Rams. But it hasn't come to fruition. And I think a lot of it is the personnel that he's trying to use right now.
So if the playoffs started today, the Chargers would make the playoffs. They would be the 7 seed. The final 6 games for the Los Angeles Chargers: at Cincinnati, home against the Giants, a Thursday night football affair against the Kansas City Chiefs, at Houston, home against the Broncos, and at the Raiders. I'll ask you the same question that we asked our first guest. If I set the over-under on wins right now for the Chargers at 9.5, would you take the over or the under?
I'm taking the under. I mean, I've been on 9-8 since April, since the draft, and since I looked at this roster. There's just too many roster holes here to look at this team and say, okay, they're going to be a 10, 11 win team, especially with what they're dealing with up front offensively on the offensive line right now. This game against Cincinnati is the season. Like, they have to go into Cincinnati and win this game. If they don't, they're 6-6. And they're looking at a steep climb up to make the playoffs. You know, right now, I don't think 9 wins is going to get you in. There's just too many teams in the AFC that are clumped together. You expect several of those teams to get to 10 wins, and you're probably going to need to get to 10 wins and get some help to get into the playoffs. So we'll see what happens in Cincinnati on Sunday. I'm taking the under on that just because of the issues that we've talked about here in this conversation.
That is Daniel Popper. He covers the Chargers for The Athletic. I have been sort of deemed Chargers dot on this show. I feel more positive about the Chargers than you do, which makes me feel like I don't know anything about the NFL or this team. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I appreciate it. That's Daniel Popper joining us on the show today. Not a single other team in the NFL or in the AFC West gave us any confidence over the last 20 minutes of doing this, Rob. Not a single shred of... I wish we could go back and play Daniel Popper's answer. He didn't describe one thing the Chargers are doing well right now. Well, offensively, they're really struggling. They're injured. They're hurt up front. Defensively, they can't really get stops. Special teams has been a disappointment. Their coach hasn't been that good. They don't have a home field advantage. What are they good at?
I mean, it's very much other than that, Miss Lincoln. How was the play?
Endorsing the Los Angeles Chargers has been the biggest mistake of my career.
He took the under so aggressively on 9.5.
What odds would you have to give me that one team in the AFC West wins double-digit games? Because based on what we just heard, all three of our experts are taking the under on 9.5. What odds would you give me that one team wins 10 games?
Before the segment, I wouldn't have given you any odds. I don't know. I don't want to say 2-1, but maybe 2-1. If three people who have their boots on the ground are saying, yeah, this team can't win 10.
We stink.
We're bad. Thanks for having us on. Division's yours.
I just want to point out, this is what we heard from the Raiders guy. This team doesn't have a leader or any sense of direction. The Broncos guy. Yeah, we're firing our coach and our offensive coordinator at the end of the season if we don't make the playoffs. And the Chargers guy, we don't do anything well. We're not winning double-digit games. That was the message we learned over the last 25 minutes on this show. This is very informative. I will say that. I had fun. I enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, how could Kansas City not? They just found out the division's locked up in week 11. It's over. It's done. You guys want to buy a new t-shirt? That's what we just heard for 25 minutes.
We stink is what we heard. We stink. Someone says, hey, C-Dot, why were you interviewing the beat writer of the Chargers when I thought you were the beat writer for the Chargers? No, I'm the voice of the Chargers, okay? I'm not their beat writer.
Apparently not, because the beat writer says we stink. You think they're good.
Not anymore. I'm out. Hey, Doe, let me out. I'm out. Coming up on the other side, I have a question to ask you guys about the Denver Broncos. I might actually now have the answer after that last segment. We'll figure it out together. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
George Payton already has a short list of coaches that he would like to talk to. And every single coach on that short list, at least what I've been told, has a relationship or has had a relationship with Russell Wilson. So that's kind of where their target is if this doesn't go well into the playoffs. And like I said, I still believe even if you sneak in as a wild card and get beat up in weekend one, I still think they're looking for Russell Wilson and a coach to replace Fangio that has a relationship with Russ.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. If people would simply bet the opposite of whatever C-Dot says, then we'd all be millionaires. If you know a radio show that has been able to predict this year's NFL season, please direct them to me because I'm clearly doing something wrong. I've got a lot of stuff wrong this year in the NFL. I got a lot of stuff right, too. I've certainly got a lot of stuff wrong. I don't know how everybody isn't in the same boat when it comes to this year in the NFL. And our Survivor League this week, every single person missed. I don't know how you predict this year in the NFL. The Chiefs were bad for the first 2 months of the season. Bad for the first 2 months of the season. In 2 weeks, they've turned it around, and we think they're the best team in the league. Arizona, I thought, was the clear best team in the league for the first 2 months of the year. Everybody started getting injured. Everybody's hurt on Tennessee. New England started off the year 1-4, and now they're the hottest team in the NFL, where today I'm watching television, and they're talking about, is it realistic to predict a Patriots and Bucks Super Bowl? Like, this has just been one of those kind of years in the NFL. So I don't wear wrong predictions at all, and that's just part of the game. I got to give predictions 20 hours a week. You win some and you lose some. That's the game. You live to fight another day. This year in the NFL. This is my question, though. Rob, you know how every team in the NFL has like an NFC equivalent? Like the Los Angeles Chargers, their NFC equivalent is the Dallas Cowboys. Like the last 20 years for both teams feel like they have been almost the exact same. Who do you think is the NFC equivalent for the Denver Broncos? Because the Broncos, I think, are a competitive team. They've fallen on, I would say, really hard time at the quarterback position over the last 10 to 12 years or so. And they've sort of had to try to figure it out. I think it was a once really proud organization that has fallen on some lean years, and they've seen the rest of their division pass them by. Every team in the AFC West has some form of hope aside from them. Your hope, if you're the Chargers, are in your 23-year-old quarterback in Herbert. Obviously, Kansas City, we know where their hope lies. The Raiders, I still think that's a really talented roster, and I think they're going to be able to attract a really quality head coach. I think Carr's a top-half quarterback in the league. I think there's some good parts there. New stadium, rejuvenated fan base. I don't think the Raiders is a bad job. The Broncos' plan seems to be hoping that they can get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. You already used up your one token like that in this lifetime, and you got Peyton Manning. I don't know if counting on that same formula again in 2021, 2022 is a winning formula. From just talking to Josh Dover, we only talked to him for 6 minutes, so I'm sure there's more. Did you get any feeling like their plan isn't hope and pray for Russell Wilson? I mean, if we don't get Russell Wilson, we're going to be in the exact same spot next year. They should have drafted Justin Fields. That's what the Broncos' plan should have been. I think Sertan's a fantastic corner. I think he helped win them the game on Sunday against the Chargers. But they're in AFC purgatory. If you look at the AFC, most teams have their plan at quarterback for at least the next 3 years, some for longer than that. The Broncos are one of the few teams that don't seem to have a plan of what their quarterback is. They're in quarterback purgatory right now. They're in team purgatory, AFC purgatory. Who would you deem to be the NFC equivalent of the Broncos?
The Washington football team. Because once proud franchise, check, check. Great hit, has Hall of Fame coaches in the past, check, check. Super Bowls, check and check. For different reasons, ownership has become a problem, check and check. They are winning in spite of their flaws. Check and check. They are winning, and it's actually hindering their ability to find the quarterback of the future. Check and check. The only difference is I think Washington has a really good football coach and Denver has Vic Fangio. Outside of that, I would say the Denver equivalent in the NFC is the Washington football team. And sticking with your point that they've seen everyone kind of run by them in the division, that hasn't really happened in Washington, but at least everyone in that division has a quarterback or a belief in their quarterback, which is similar to the AFC West. Meanwhile, you're stuck in the wind, hoping and praying that journeymen get you home.
I'm going to suggest Carolina. I get the Washington football team analogy, and I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to suggest Carolina. I think Carolina's defense is still pretty capable. You know what I think has really failed Carolina? Sam Darnold turned into a pumpkin week 3 of the NFL season, and they've been trying to figure it out. I don't know what's happened to Cam Newton. Maybe his COVID shot has worn off, because that little boost that Cam Newton had for the first, I don't know, 3 quarters of his return completely wore off in the last game, and Cam is done. That might be an overreaction to just one game in the NFL, and you know we all do that, but it has been all downhill from Cam Newton since the meme of him saying, "I'm back," into the camera. He has not made a good play, a good throw. He has not done anything since that meme. I think their comparison is Carolina. Carolina seems a little bit lost at the quarterback position, where they have Sam Darnold and the Broncos have Teddy Bridgewater, who oddly enough used to be the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. Who's the quarterback next year for Carolina? No clue. What's their plan at quarterback for next year? Doesn't it sound like what the Broncos' plan is? Well, we got a chance to go get X, Y, and Z. We're going to be in the hunt. I think Carolina's going to be aggressive in trying to go get those guys, but they probably will come up empty just like they did during this go-round. I think Carolina was as aggressive trying to get a veteran quarterback as any team in the league, and they eventually got him. They got Sam Darnold as their quarterback, who's not good. I would suggest Carolina as the NFC equivalent to the Broncos. I think Carolina is a good organization that's a decent roster, and they've got some pieces defensively. In that division, though, it's hard when you have the worst quarterback and you don't really have any upward mobility to finding who your next quarterback is.
The reason I would push back on Carolina, and I think a lot of those points are valid, is the division element. Look at Denver's division. We know for a fact two of those teams have their quarterback of the future locked up. And for better or worse, the Raiders are a believer in Derek Carr. Look at the Panthers division. It's, for some reason, Taysom Hill / Trevor Siemian, which is the same as nothing, and decrepit Matt Ryan and somehow fountain of youth 48-year-old Tom Brady. That's not really sustainable long-term. I would say Denver's in a different spot because if they don't get a franchise quarterback, they're in bigger trouble because the division has theirs. I don't think the Panthers division has their quarterbacks. I would say the Panthers are kind of similar footing to a lot of their division in the fact that you eventually got to fix quarterback and they all are going to have to do it. So I would push back that similarity. Seems monumentally different to me.
Coming up on the other side, today is the anniversary of a very popular sports movie. We'll talk about that. And there is something about this college football coaching search that makes no sense to me. I'll tell you what that is, too. Stay right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to The Drive.
I had no plan on talking about this, and I won't talk about it for very long because I know how you guys feel about the National Basketball Association. But J.J. Redick and Draymond Green want to do a Manning cast for an NBA game. Rob, sign me up. Sign me up. I don't care what game they're doing. They could do Toronto versus the Orlando Magic. Yes. Sign me up. I am all for Draymond Green and J.J. Redick watching an NBA game and reacting in real time and having NBA legends and guests on the show, like the Manning cast. It would be a fantastic idea. I don't know who came up with that idea, but I'm all for it. Sign me up. As you know, tonight we get Warriors and Suns. This is probably the biggest game in the NBA schedule so far this season.
Combined five losses between them for those who have been watching, so everyone but me and you. Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
I mean, there's probably three other people right now that plan on watching tonight's game.
They're not listening.
There's probably three other people right now. They're like, oh, wow, Suns do play the Warriors today. I can't wait to watch. I want to play this audio clip for you guys very, very quickly. Today is the 40-year anniversary of the movie Brian's Song. Now, if you guys don't know the story about Brian's Song, it is about Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo. These were the first interracial roommates in the NFL. Maybe that's the correct term to use. Brian Piccolo actually passed away of cancer, and he and Gale Sayers became really good friends before Brian Piccolo passed away. Rob, I don't know if that movie resonates as much anymore because I think our generation has our football helped us overcome racism movie, and that's Remember the Titans. That's our generation's football overcome racism movie. Now, I don't know what it's going to be for this next generation. Maybe they won't have one. Like right now, if you were 7 years old, maybe you won't have a football overcome racism movie. But I would say our parents, their movie was Brian's Song. It's a really good movie, really good story if you haven't seen it. But I would say if you're under the age, if you're between the ages of 21 and 40, I would say Remember the Titans is your football overcome racism movie.
Absolutely. I like Brian's Song because my parents liked Brian's Song. Maybe that's the same for you, but it's not going to be like I have kids like kids. We're going to sit down and watch Brian's Song. Remember the Titans is going to be watched forever and ever and ever. And I think one of the reasons is it has Denzel. Any movie that has Denzel automatically becomes a notch above. The story's good. Denzel makes it great. There's no Denzel kiss that Brian's Song gets. Maybe that you know, the actor who the actors in that one were that era's Denzel, but I would argue that. No, Denzel makes that movie
a
lead.
Hold on. Billy Dee Williams was 100% 1970 Denzel Washington.
Don't put Lando Calrissian and Denzel in the same conversation.
Please don't disrespect Billy Dee Williams like this. Billy Dee Williams was absolutely Denzel Washington in 1971. 100% back then.
Billy Dee's a fine actor. He's not Denzel. Don't do that. Denzel's a different level.
You know how cool you had to be in the 70s, to be black and be in Star Wars? Why are you going to disrespect Billy Dee Williams like this? He was the second black man to be in space after LeVar Burton. Why are you disrespecting him this way? Billy Dee Williams was 100% Denzel Washington in 1971.
And how many Oscars did Billy Dee rack up in his career?
That's a good point. It's a good point.
I'm not insulting Billy Dee by talking great about Denzel. This is like if I said Patrick Mahomes is elite and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not disrespect a person like Mac Jones. Mac Jones is good. Patrick Mahomes is better. Denzel is better than Billy Dee. And I like the Star Wars films more than anyone probably should.
Someone on the text line says, what about the movie Blindside? Would that classify as the football cured racism? I don't know if Blindside counts in that category. I'm a firm believer that everybody has their favorite white savior movie. Blindside's a lot of people's white savior movie. My favorite white savior movie is Freedom Riders. You guys know the movie that I'm talking about. White person comes in, helps the underprivileged youth, normally the black kids, turns their life around, the white savior movie. Blindside's a great white savior movie. Fantastic movie. My favorite one's Freedom Riders, though.
That's your favorite one?
You seem like a Dangerous Minds kind of guy. Dangerous Minds is your favorite white savior movie.
I was going to say Glory.
Glory. See what I mean?
Glory is definitely that film for me.
Yeah, of course.
You know what Glory has? Denzel.
Yeah, everybody has one. Everybody has a favorite white savior movie. I'm 100% convinced that every single person has one. Every person has one. I can't get over what Daniel Popper had to say on our show earlier today when he joined us. He's the beat writer for the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm taking the under. I mean, I've been on 9-8 since April, since the draft, and since I looked at this roster. There's just too many roster holes here for to look at this team and say, okay, they're going to be a 10, 11 win team, especially with what they're dealing with up front offensively on the offensive line right now. This game against Cincinnati is the season. Like, they have to go into Cincinnati and win this game. If they don't, they're 6-6.
Let's go look at the Chargers' schedule really quickly. We're going to play a game here coming up at the top of the hour, too. We'll give you a chance to win a prize. The remaining games for the Chargers are Cincinnati, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Broncos, and the Raiders. If you can't go 4-2 in this stretch, this season has been an abject failure for the Chargers. I would say the Bengals game is a coin flip. I don't think it's a 50-50 game. I would say Cincinnati has to be favored in that game based on how Cincinnati's playing of late and how the Chargers are playing of late. You should beat the Giants. It's a Thursday night home game against Kansas City that I think Kansas City's better than Los Angeles. But I think we'd all be a little bit arrogant to not say that that's a difficult spot for Kansas City and how weird those Thursday night football games are, especially for the road team. That's a tough scenario, especially because the Chargers, they play a home game. So they have a home game against the Giants and they have a Thursday home game against the Chiefs. It's just a difficult spot to be in if you're Kansas City. I think Kansas City's probably a, what, 2.5, 3.5 point favorite in that scenario. They should win that game. Just a difficult spot to be in. At Houston, that should be a win. Home against the Broncos, you should be in a position to split against the Broncos if you're the Chargers. You lost the road game. You now have them coming back to the crib. You should beat them. And on the road against the Raiders could be a 50-50 coin flip. If the Chargers don't make the playoffs in this scenario and they can't go 4-2 down the stretch, it is an abject failure from where they started this season on. They started off the season 4-1. They started off the season 4-1. You had the NFC East as your cross-division rival, and you couldn't figure out a way to win 10 games and make the playoffs as a wild-card team? Abject failure if the Chargers don't make the playoffs. And this might be taking it one step too far. If they don't make the playoffs with this team and with the way that their defense is gone, I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Staley doesn't come back. I would not be surprised if they – Steve Wilks, your boy. You got a franchise quarterback and enough pieces on defense, there's no reason for you to fumble the bag the way the Chargers will have fumbled it if they miss the playoffs.
I don't think there's any chance they – I almost said Steve Wilks, your boy. Steve Wilks went 1-15.
That's fair.
He got run. I think 9-8 is a little bit different to run a first-year coach. And Daniel Popper also said a lot of square pegs, round hole situation with this Charger defense. So maybe if you hire him, you give him a chance to build it and make it what he wants it to be. But you're right. To start 4-1 and us be talking in week 12, like if you don't go beat the Bengals, who I know are better than we all anticipated, but if you can't beat the Bengals, the season's over. That's the beat writer saying that. If you can't beat the Bengals, the season's over. That's a colossal Titanic level flop midseason. Charger rings back if they lose the Bengals and the season's over.
The text line is asking a question. Text line 913-576-7610. Hey, C-Dot, what would be our basketball helped overcome racism movie? Glory Road. Glory Road's this generation's basketball help overcome racism movie. I love Glory Road. I think it's a fantastic movie. Are you a Glory Road guy?
It's not my favorite basketball movie, but yeah, it's good.
We don't talk enough how Disney never misses in those scenarios. Disney never misses. Disney's got one of them in almost every category. They've got a football movie.
Mm-hmm. Remember the Titans.
Yeah. They got a basketball. They don't miss in that scenario. Disney made Miracle.
Mm-hmm. Does Disney have that in baseball?
They probably do. I just got to look it up. They probably got it. I got to look it up.
Because I know Hardball's probably that, but that's not Disney.
A lot of people are saying Hardball is their favorite white savior movie, which is a strong suggestion.
Good white savior movie.
A great one. a great one. Everybody has a favorite one.
When Neo goes to help those kids, what a time.
Yeah. Hardball is like really funny, but it's not funny. Hardball is really funny, though. The kid's just playing baseball with these headphones on. He's just pitching with his Walkman. That's what's going on in the hood. It's going on in the streets. Someone said, what about Coach Carter? Coach Carter does not count as a basketball helped overcome racism movie. No, it's not what Coach Carter is. You guys
Who's
have never
the white
seen
savior
before.
In that film?
Yeah, you've never seen
Channing
Coach
Tatum
Carter.
Delivered the team.
Coach, that's what it is. That's Coach Carter's our favorite white savior movie. All right, we're going to play a game here. If you like the NFL and have ever watched the Chiefs and Broncos play each other, we have a game created exactly for you. We will play that next. 913-576-7610. I will explain the rooms on the other side. It's a drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.